is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. It's Thursday. It's a little after 11 a.m. And I am your host today, C.A. Nuri. And it's Open Line Thursday. So I'm kind of excited. I'm kind of excited about that. This week has been very interesting. I would even dare say this week has been sassy. My God, we have a chief magistrate berating a lawyer, a senior lawyer in open court, telling her that she looked like Lo Obia, you know? And I have that clip. And that's what I say the person looked like Obia, or like Obia, you know? Anyway, Kermit, play that clip for me. And I, like I said, I want you to call me in and speak what is on your mind, what is pressing. Ask my opinion on things, right? I have a number of, I don't want to say salacious, because I've already been warned, you know, but I have a number of conversations that is headlining this week, and I want to gently talk about one or two things. But let's play that clip. The clip, okay. Let me go back to Kermit and see where it is. It's going to be the first clip, and I will send it again, and I'll just move on to the next topic. And I see that there is COVID in schools. Kermit, tell me when you get that. We'll play that clip. And there is, oh, you got it now? Just waiting on the producer.
All cases involving criminal attorney Christina Galanis from her court. This following a complaint from Galanis that the magistrate made personal attacks toward her in court. Just yesterday, we reported that the Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions filed an application to have the chief magistrate recuse herself from the Michelle Rackley fraud case. According to documents obtained by Eyewitness News, Ferguson Pratt allegedly berated Galanis in court with demeaning references to Obeah, the lawyer's ill mother, and other personal attacks. It is alleged that although the chief magistrate agreed to transfer all of Galanis' cases to other magistrates, she reneged on that agreement in a particular case back in March. The Supreme Court agreed to have that case transferred and a change on the bail conditions of the accused. Galanis has declined to comment on this matter when contacted earlier today.
And that was from Eyewitness News, actually. And that tickled me. It tickled me because I did not see that coming, especially from an open court, a senior magistrate, a senior lawyer, and how such conversations happen. But I something stuck out to me, and I'm going to read it, right? I'm going to read it. This is from a letter written by the lawyer of a complainant. Said, each time she said it, she got louder, meaner, and more menacing. I was so stunned that I asked her, the chief magistrate, if that it was a threat. She astonishingly responded, "That is not a threat. That is a promise. I am a child of God. And as a child of God, I have the power to call down certain things, oh my Lord." See, I from Auckland. I know about this type of power. I know what when you call down these type of power, what happens. So I kind of timid around here, right? See, I don't want to talk about this, but this is something interesting to talk about. Because I know some people who could call down things from the sky and let some medicine things happen. But I digress. I can move on. "Whatever you have planned for me," apparently the chief magistrate said, "will ricochet back to you," right? And then I have another thing, comment that stood out on this article, this issue. When she said the chief magistrate launched a disrespectful, inappropriate, unprofessional, unbecoming, unwarranted, loud, nasty, vicious, vindictive, and personal attack on me. This is court, by the way. This is a lawyer and a magistrate speaking to each other. That it so pressed that the lawyer wrote the chief justice to complain and have all our case move away. And this is what I also find interesting. Mind you, nobody knew about this. Nobody knew about this, right? But somehow the media know about it now. So that means someone leaked it. I don't think it was the chief justice, you know. I don't think it was the senior magistrate, the chief magistrate. I definitely wasn't any of their secretaries. So I still watching to see who would have leaked this. You know, I found that interesting, right? Another thing in the news is, again, the COVID. And I see Miss Belinda Wilson is saying that there is an outbreak. And she chose that particular word for a reason, to call an alarm, to make government and officials and government understand that you need to address this now. And I see the minister said that outbreak is the wrong word to use. And my concern now is, how serious is COVID-19? See, I don't forget. I stopped wearing masks at work, right? I'm around people. Nobody's talk. And I'm trying to say, is COVID-19 serious enough that if the word outbreak is being used, that those who are in charge need to come up with a solution? What is the impact of COVID-19 if our children in mass catches it? Is there some long-lasting type of effect? Or is it just a flu and we can ignore it and say, let them catch it. Let these little children catch it, right? It ain't like it could kill them, right? Because if it is serious and there is an outbreak and there's yet to be a response, this don't look good. It don't look good, you know? So I'm trying to say, I got a text and said, but Miss Belinda will always complain about not coming up with any solutions. What should the government do? They can't close the school no more. The children got to get educated. They're behind. So perhaps we need to mitigate the situation that is happening at the schools. But no one is given any solutions. So I'll give a solution. I see that I mentioned the last time we're here that St. Anne's QC, St. Augustine's College, closed their school campuses because of COVID and abundance of caution, they said. It's not that they had a large outbreak or anything, but abundance of caution and to make sure that their students are able to take their external exams. But external exam for BJC started today. And something that St. Anne's school did, they asked for all students who are taking exams today to take a COVID test. No, 2-3 days out. And they come, and I guess if they were COVID positive, they'll put you in a separate room to take the exam or whatever it is. But my point is, they came up with a solution. I am waiting to hear if the government will follow suit with that type of solution. Why can't they bring a clinic on campus and say, hey, everyone who's coming on campus, we're going to be giving you weekly tests. You know what I mean? And if you're positive, you know, you got to stay home. But if you're negative, you could come and we carry on. Right? But you can't be having students who, you know, we are familiar people. They like hug and carry on and involve, interact, right? Social intercourse. You can't think that it's safe to allow students who may unknowingly have COVID to just gallivant around, right? The number today is 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. And the text line, of course, is 422-4796. And it's an open line Thursday where you can talk about anything you want and I'll give commentary on it, right? I have a text here. If it were up to Belinda Wilson, our students would be sitting at home for years. See, we tend to bash Belinda Wilson. You know, she only cared about the students and her teachers. That's what she got hired for. But the question is, how serious is COVID? If COVID is a mild thing, if it doesn't kill people, if you can catch it and recover quickly, you know, if you can get the booster shot, if you can get your tattoo vaccine and you can be safe, then cool. Let the kids them run around. You don't even have to wear a mask, right? But if COVID is serious, if, right? If it has long-lasting repercussions to the body and illness, then saying flippantly she always wants the school to close isn't good enough. Like I said, I just give a solution that perhaps our government may or should consider having testing weekly for the students as they come in and separate the goats from the sheep until the day of judgment, you know, the wheat and the tares, right? I have another a clip there. Producer, Kermit, you there? Can you play that other clip? I see that the FNM had another conclave. They stay having conclave. I guess the first one didn't work. But they had another conclave, and they said that they have finally found out what went wrong. I mind you, I can tell them what went wrong before this, but they finally have it. So let's play that clip. I say, hear that clip? Yeah, let's play that clip. Look like I need to send that clip to Kermit also. But yes, my the good thing is that they are finally doing some introspection, right? And that can only be good. I just think that is it's kind of too late. So Kermit, I'm going to resend this to you and that we can play that. Okay, where is Kermit's number? Just to see exactly what the FNM is doing, right? It seems as if they're playing defense instead of offense, that they are, mind you, it's only a couple months in, and it takes a while for a new executive grouping to catch their bearings, right? So I'm assuming that is what is happening. But it just seems as they're playing defense instead of offense with the PLP administration, that they are grasping at straws as they try to settle themselves. And I'm a little concerned about that, because definitely we need a strong opposition when we have such a large majority as the government, and with the PLP having so many seats. So, Kermit, if you did get that, you could play that so I could do some commentary on that.
Party leader Michael Pintard calling the conclave a success, as they were able to address a number of concerns that they believe led to the party's loss. He says they believe one of the issues the party faced was not being more responsive to the suggestions of local associations as well as those of the general public.
We also believe that that members of the public wanted us to be a lot more responsive to the concerns that they expressed, whether it's members of the media, such as yourself, who wanted us to be more accessible. We acknowledge that we could have been, and we fully intend to be more accessible, whether it's members of the business community that expected a greater sense of urgency from us in responding to those projects that were in the pipeline that it took an inordinate amount of time for us to take care of.
He adds that there were also concerns regarding the handling of the COVID pandemic.
They wanted us, even in the management of COVID, to certainly have a different tone and style. I don't think they doubted whether or not ultimately all of us cared. I think they wanted a different focus. And then, of course, we discussed the Dorian, the aftermath of Dorian, and certainly the impact that many persons felt Dorian had on their lives.
Member of Parliament for East Grand Bahama, Kwesi Thompson, noting that the conclave was informative to the party as it provided insights on the next steps.
We spoke about unity. We spoke about the way forward. We spoke about how do we become more effective members of Parliament. And so it was not just about looking at the past, but it was about focusing on what's happening today.
And as to what's next for the party.
We'll be doing a tour throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, meeting with associations, as well as with those members of the Free National Movement who did not vote in the last election, or independents who did not participate but traditionally supported us, to hear more from them directly and to lay out our plan of action. We believe that the vast majority of them will return home.
Reporting for Our News, I'm Megan Shepherd.
And that's what the FNM is doing at its present time. Kirk, I just sent you another clip. If you could get that, you could play that too. This is going to be entertaining. And I done get a text the moment I sent that to Kirk. What do you call him, Kirk? Kermit. I sent it to Kermit. And they already warned me. Said, Cecil, be careful with this one. This one is going to cause some issues. But I'm going to play it. And I'm going to limit my conversation on this. Play that one, Kermit, so I can have some commentary on that too.
Prime Minister Philip Davis shooting down claims that the Davis administration is conducting a political witch hunt at the Water and Sewerage Corporation. Back in October, Works Minister Alfred Sears said he had directed his ministry to probe questionable contracts issued by WSC to determine whether the matter needs to be turned over to the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Those findings resulting in a police investigation.
Investigation is ongoing, and that they are deciding what they're going to do. Have you not? It started off with an internal audit report that was presented to me. I turned it over to the AG, and the police investigations are continuing.
Since news broke that an official investigation has been launched, the Free National Movement said it was politically motivated. Well, the Prime Minister hit back, saying that's not the case.
We are different from the FNM. They understand what witch hunting is about, because that's their modus operandi. That's not us.
Minister with responsibility for the Water and Sewage Corporation, Alfred Sears, also weighing in, saying it's a matter he won't get involved in any way.
I can tell you, as a former Attorney General, the conduct of police matters is a matter strictly in terms of the police. Similarly, I respect the separation of powers and the independence of the judiciary, should it proceed to that.
Reporting for Our News, I'm Berthany McDermott.
And that was Berthany McDermott from Our News. And I'm asking, do you think it was a witch hunt? The good thing I heard from this is definitely no minister of health would be interviewing any witness. And, of course, no minister of national security will be intimately involved in the case. And that was suggested and made clear. So I'm happy to hear that. That's completely different from the other folks. But I'm happy to hear that. But my concern is, recently, a member of parliament, Cars, I'm going to be careful here because I get the text. Like I said, the text say I can't talk about this. Cars was confiscated. And there hasn't been any statement. Surely someone should have some kind of press release. I unequivocally deny what they're suggesting. You know, I am innocent of that. You know, there hasn't been any statement. So I'm a little uneasy about that, but I'm no lawyer. These things happen for a reason, in order to build a case, and I guess they're waiting on to see what is happening. But I'm a little uneasy, you know? So I'll wait to see if it's indeed a witch hunt or not. But like I said, I'm not going to entertain any calls regarding that, since that looks like it could be an ongoing court battle, and the police are ready. What the headline say? Police wants to speak to MP in water and sewage probe, you know? So I ain't going to talk much about that. I see a 22-year-old woman has pleaded with the magistrate to allow her to withdraw her complaint against her boyfriend. Mind you, her boyfriend beat her up and bludgeoned her eye out. She doesn't have an eyeball anymore. But she said that it wasn't all that. You know, I forgive him. And I don't want to press any charges against him. Of course, the magistrate said, hell with that. he can press some charges, right? It's so serious. And she started to cry and started to weep and said, no, you don't understand. And I brought that up because a number of Christian folks, mostly pastors, you know, deacons, are concerned about Bahamian women making such allegations against them regarding rape, right? And they're saying, this is the same reason right here. You say I miss and rape, say miss and rape you. God forgive me. I can get phone calls for saying that, and I didn't mean to say it that way. Right? You say that your spouse rape you, and started proceedings, and 2 months when they need you to testify, you withdraw it and say, no, I didn't mean it like that. You know, we were having role play, and I was angry at that time. And this is what they use and say, man, a woman has changed their mind so much. You know, and I don't know what how to say for that, but women need to understand and appreciate that when you do these things, especially put these things forward and then withdraw, it impacts the general consensus of women and especially who go in through trials and tribulation, right? You need to stand firm, you know? You don't let men abuse you, you know? You speak out and you go down full hall because there are other women who are watching. And your decisions, or lack thereof, impacts their decisions in the future, right? I see there is an issue, again, with the food program, where the Prime Minister, brought inside host assembly, said that there are two. There are two NGOs who partnered with the government who are refusing, that's my word, just that they ain't paying the government no attention. The government asked them point blank, we need you to provide the finances and explanation of where the money's spent. And they ignored them. So, man, I ain't listening to y'all. I did the people and the government a favor. I spent the money. And our government said, I need you to explain where the money gone. And you know how much money it is? It was $10 million. It was $10 million, and they have yet to say where the money gone. And of course, the Prime Minister, in his pledge of being transparent, did not tell us the name. No, he did not tell us the name. I'm still waiting to find out the name of these NGOs so I could write them and say, Mr. NGO, you need to provide one listing. I could help. But the Prime Minister is keeping a secret. I mean, apparently, according to Guardian, when they scrutinize records, it seems to be Lend a Hand NGO and Idare Relief. Those two names are circling. And because the report was clear, it says who were delinquent in giving the information. And I'd like to know what the Prime Minister plans to do. You can't be keeping this information secret. I want to know. I have a right to know. That's my $10 million. It make acting like that's his $10 million. That's my $10 million. And I want to know where the money is. I want to know how it's spent. But I see I get some callers there. So Kermit Patch, the call is true. Let me see what's on their mind on this open mic day. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you know, what I like to say is, right, that you know, the Prime Minister try to make it sound like the government, you know what I mean, is not saying that they steal this money. It's $10 million. That's what they got the public believing.
It does seem like let me correct it. Hold on. Let me see the right. It seems as if something untoward happened. I'm not saying that our Prime Minister is saying that anyone has stolen any money. It's clear that he said that no one provided information. So I have to correct you.
But then all through social media and the general public believe like the government is at fault of this, you know what I'm saying, done something untoward concerning these $10 million, you know, and even the $50 million, you know, you understand what I'm saying? And in fact, the government has nothing to do with what these people done with the money that was given to them to feed the people.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I only thing I can say now, the government need to tell us the name and let the chips fall as they may. But the Prime Minister has pledged that he has a plan of action to ensure that the information is forthcoming. But it's been months now, man. We keep on begging. I'm tired of begging, especially when I have to do with my $10 million. Thank you very much, for calling. Do I have another call there? You pass it right through. Caller, go ahead.
Good morning, CA. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well.
Yeah, Mr. Nubi, I have really two concerns. Number one, I am concerned about the number of cases that have been overturned by the appellate court. You know, it seems like the magistrates who are adjudicating these cases, like they do not know, what the law is or whatever it is. But there have been a number of serious cases, the latest one, I think, involving a murder, person who was convicted initially of murder. And that case has been now overturned and has to go back to court. And, you know, the magistrate, they need to be instructed by the AGS or whoever. What qualifies them to really hear cases like that just because they are a lawyer? My other concern, is the amount of unceremoniously so-called, what I call, departures that have been made under this New Day government. Number one, the former Director General of Tourism, Joy Jubilu, she just disappeared off the scene. Just a statement that she's on pre-retirement leave.
And I hear your concern, caller. This administration hired a new person who's competent, and I expect great and wonderful things to happen for Ministry of Tourism. You see all of the projects that is happening right now, so I'm kind of excited. I appreciate Ms. Jubilu. She did an awesome job, a yeoman's job, and she must be congratulated. But I expect great and wonderful things. I see you mentioned about the appellate court. I think that's justices and not magistrates who does the appellate court. And these are learned gentlemen and gentle ladies. They went to some of the best universities in the world. Right? They have great experience. So, but see, you got to understand that the judges, justices, are trier of facts. They apply the facts and the law. When that happens, it doesn't have, we lay people like our opinions and how we feel and our emotions, but it's judges and justices have to bypass that. And that's why justice is blind. And they come up to the best conclusion based on the law and whatever the law says. So I hear your concern, but I don't necessarily think it's a concern. I have most confidence, utmost confidence in our judges and our judicial system. Do we have another caller there? Go ahead, caller.
If you'd like to make a...
Oh, you hang up. I'm sorry for taking so long there. I also see our prime minister is feeding cake to one lady. And I feel some kind of way. And when I saw our prime minister in that intimate pose feeding cake to that lady, I became concerned. And I say, wife, if I feed one lady some cake like that, would you get concerned? And the type of choice words my wife said to me, I realized that that feeding of the cake to that woman was inappropriate for our prime minister to be doing. And that's letting you know, I didn't like it. He's the leader of the nation. You don't be feeding no strange woman no cake. I just want to say that out loud. I see you have another caller there. Go ahead, caller. Caller, you're on there.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
That's good. First time calling here.
I appreciate you calling me today.
That's no problem. I had a concern about our government that's going on. I mean, we've seen that inflation is our number one issue in the country. Everything's going up, gas prices, grocery prices, and everything else that's affecting the country as it were. But the government isn't bringing any solutions to the table. So a solution that I was thinking about that no one else is seeming to look at or recommend is that what if we could solve our energy crisis along with our gas prices and even the NIB issue with if we were just to say that we were to look even into buying the Russian oil.
We already getting the Russian oil.
Pardon?
We already getting the Russian oil.
Well, we can't be if prices on the open market for oil is $113 and Russian oil is like $70. That would decrease our our price at the pump, it would make the ETL bill go down a little.
Let me at least put this in. Recently, the U.S. Embassy asked us officially in a letter to join them in the boycott of Russian goods due to the war in the Ukraine. We being partners, we being allies to the United States, we agreed, right? That is our official stance of the Bahamas. And I see the U.S. Embassy asked for one or two more things, and I see the Minister of Foreign Affairs responded in kind and said, well, these have to be official requests and stuff like that. So I hear you wanting to be political and say, why don't we bypass our strategic partners who provide us with almost everything and vex them? But no, that ain't happening. But we're going to have a break right now. It's Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri. And call me on the next side. Let's have a conversation. What's vexing you?
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
It's back. One of the biggest regattas on the sailing calendar. It's the 53rd annual Long Island Regatta in Salt Pond, Long Island, June 1st to 4th.
Yeah.
The biggest economic boost for Long Island is back with more than 40 sloops competing in the A, B, C, and D classes, along with the Long Island Youth Regatta and the Man in the Boat Sculling Races. Don't miss this major cultural experience June 1st to 4th. The 53rd annual Long Island Regatta in Salt Pond. All of the fastest sloops will be there. Artisans displaying their handmade crafts, jewelry, and scrollwork. Great food, including the world-famous native mutton dishes. And endless memories all await you at the 53rd annual Long Island Regatta in Salt Pond.
Long Island breeze, your sheep are bleating.
Guardian Media will be broadcasting live at the 53rd annual Long Island Regatta with live updates of the sailing results and activities every day. It's the 53rd annual Long Island Regatta in beautiful Salt Pond, Long Island, June 1st to 4th.
Yeah!
Regatta update, sponsored by the Salt Fiber Rebar. No steal, no big deal. The Dalbinas Agency, distributors of Hunt's Ketchup, and Lickety Split, a cool spot for hot shots.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and I'm your host for today. I see I have a text from a Royal Bahamas Defense Force retiree who has some concerns about their package or their increase in retirement benefits. They also mentioned that, I'm trying to inform the public, that the Royal Bahamas Defense Force is not under the public service and that their increments and promotions are separate and that they report directly to the minister and directly to cabinet and do not go through the regular civilian public service because they don't have a union or representatives like that. And I agree. And if the Commodore isn't aware of that, if the minister isn't aware of that, that promotions and promotional exercise does not have to come via the public service, that they can, promotions can be done by the minister himself or by the Commodore speaking to the minister himself, then there is a concern. I believe the Royal Bahamas Defense Force is called to do all jobs. If there's a strike, they call to do that and to man the various government entities. So they should be considered separate and apart. They are military and not civilian surveillance at all. So I appreciate that, Texter. Next Texter says, CA, you'd be surprised how common it is for women to go back to their abusers. And it's usually not because they aren't in their right minds. Sometimes they have nowhere to go. Most times these females are completely dependent on their significant other and have no safety net. This is the reasons why education and skill development is so important and why some women shouldn't just rely on their bodies as what they bring to the table in relationships. I sound like a man texter. They're always trying to tell a woman what they need to do, right? But I can appreciate your point, right? But hopefully, as we move forward, the women's organization find safe spaces for where women can go and to edify themselves and to protect themselves. You know, there's definitely a need for it. I think that that is urgent. I heard once upon a time that they was going to use some kind of apartment complex, but I don't think it's the right concept. I think that they need to have a secured community home where there can be training in that home and there can be security provided to make sure that our women and our children are safe from domestic abuse. And that is urgent. And I'm not sure if perhaps we just need more female politicians to push the issue. But I'm not sure if such is urgent for our government officials to push forward. Next question. Whatever to come about the swimming pigs, they closed down. They closed down until whatever that judicial review. But the swimming pigs in Adelaide is not there at this present time that I was told. Mind you, the road name still changed. I'm still vexed about that. And I'm hoping that the minister in that area is Vaughan Miller, that they'll go and change the road back to Liberation Way and move that cynical and debasing name of Beach Road. And remember that the Adelaide community is important for the whole national conversation, that it's a free state for Africans, and that the word Liberation Way is important. So that's why that road need to be renamed back to that original name, okay? So, next texter, thanks, Nuri, for being so balanced in your opinions. Really. Guardian Radio has so many biased hosts that favor the Afrodem. I don't know any biased hosts on the Guardian Radio. Even though they will never admit it, they will bash and allow all kinds of negative remarks about the PLP government. But when someone brings up similar behavior under the Afrodem, the host say, let's not make this political. You are fair in your opinions. Give me some time. So I could be biased also. Give me some time. I'm trying to get one extra day. So give me some time. But I see you have another caller. Go ahead, Kermit. Give me that call. Caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for joining me today.
I am so glad to have you. Did you hear our former Dr. Prime Minister? What he said?
What did that Dr. Prime Minister say?
I'll be George. He was the rabbit who had the gun. Why he didn't tax the rich? The Lagavsky people say we ain't paying. What did he do?
Nicole, I don't understand you. Repeat what you said. I'm trying to understand. Call you on? I was just trying to understand the gist of what you're saying, but I heard something about former prime minister, and then it just went downhill. I see that this texter is talking about the derelict vehicles all around the place, at the potholes. I mean, rain and potholes do not go. And I like to say that the Harrow Road potholes has been fixed. I'm happy to see that. But I need you to go on East Street, and I need you to come to Fox Hill. There's some potholes that surprise you. You're driving, you're 20 to 30 miles per hour, and when you hit it, the axle break automatically. So I'm very concerned about that, and I appreciate Texter. So we need a national slogan, and Do Better Bahamas could be a national slogan. And I appreciate that, Anne Marie, for texting that to me. We have another caller. Go ahead, caller. Caller, thanks for joining me.
Yes, I tried one of your lines.
I can hear you better. Go ahead.
Would you hear what Minister?
What did Dr. Minister say?
That David's the tax the rich.
Go ahead.
He was the prime minister. In fact, he could have still been the prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
He just figured out that the risk had the money.
Mm-hmm.
The money and the money in Old Fort Bay, the life is key. And if they don't want to pay, they don't go back home. That's what you do. And I mean, like, he just find out that he was the rabbit who had the gun. Now he's up. I'm like, I got to, how does man get to be our prime minister?
Thank you very much, caller. And I hear you. But the good thing is the FNM is no longer in power. Praise Lord, hey? And the PLP is now in power. Look at God. And we must put the fire under the PLP's feet at this present time in order to get things to happen. Like, there's a number of projects I need to be done in the inner city. And making fun of Minnesota can help me, right? So I can need to make fun of other people in order to make sure these things get to start happening. And I still congratulate the PLP for the job they're doing right now, but expect some fireworks. CA, you're being serious when you say men always tell women that they need to do. Seriously, no. Other gender is tell next, the next that they need to do other than women, and they're feminist groups. And I think I'm more like I read that wrong, but I assume the texter is saying that who other than woman is dictated to other people? And he's saying that the feminist groups is the real dictators, and it's not men who are dogmatic in their approach to women affairs. But this is a patriotic system, right? Patriotic system where men dictate and make rules. So I find it that men tend to diminish women a lot, and we need to hold them in account. They say the PM said that $10 million vanished. No, that's a lie. The PM did not say that $10 million vanished. He said that he cannot account for $10 million. He didn't say that the money is not there. It's like where the VAT money gone. The VAT money was always there. We just couldn't say where it went, right? So the money did not vanish, Texter. The texter said, which infer that the money was stolen, that was wrong for him to say. And I can't speak to the inference, but the prime minister didn't use the word vanish. She said the money was not accounted for, and he wants these NGOs to account for. And he's reminding that the former administration, that they were in charge, and the buck stopped with them, that if the NGOs cannot explain where the money is, that the government needs to explain where the money is. My concern is that the prime minister needs to call the name of these NGOs, and that we have two names circulating right now, and these NGOs need to issue out a statement to say, yes, we provided, or no, we cannot provide it, but definitely we cannot let it go just like that, right? I see my friend Paul is reaching out to me. Paul, anytime, man. Just tell me when, and then we can arrange that. I hope you're able to hear that. I'll be happy to have a conversation anytime, right? Say good morning, CA. Joy is on pre-retirement because she has accumulated vacation that would take her into retirement. You can fact check that info, and I believe that is true. And like I said, I want her to enjoy her vacation. I wish I could be getting paid while I'm home. That doesn't happen. I got to go to work and work overnight and stuff like that. But I applaud her efforts. She did a yeoman's job when she's at the Director General at Tourism. And I forgot the lady's name who is the current Director General, and that's because she's new. But I expect great things. Every day, Tourism announces new projects and new things. I'm kind of excited about what Tourism plans to do for this 49th year first of anniversary of the Bahamas independence, and moving on to the 50th year of anniversary. And I pray that they partner with Ministry of Culture and the various ministries to make that come about. I see there was a press release, and I see there's no calls right now. So if you want to join this conversation and say what irks you, what you are concerned about, you can call me at The Guardian, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and I'll be happy to have a conversation with you. I see that, and I always get confused, evangelistic Center, which is on Blue Hill Road, issued out a press release concerning an event that happened in at their church. Right? They said that they host an event, they didn't hold the event. That means that a separate church, I assume, wanted to use their premises, and they invited an international pastor, a prominent one, who is, for lack of a better word, bright and different in terms of his speech. And one of his invitations to his sermon, you know, the foreign apostle was in a bubble bath. I was taken aback. And I said, oh, look at him. That's a new age Christian guy. And in his bubble bath, he is welcoming Bahamians to come and hear him preach. And I was entertained. Of course, that sparked backlash. Clearly, the apostle is not aware of Bahamian culture. And social media ripped him up. And of course, that caused the evangelist at Temple Center on Blue Road and VC Street to issue that statement. But it's a good video. I see the caller hang up. I say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get that in time. Oh, you call back. Go ahead, Kermit. Let that caller come through so we can hear what he has to say. Go ahead, caller. You're on Guardian Radio in the morning. Caller, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for joining me today.
I'm calling from AdMart, Advertising Marketing Jamaica. Is this Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM?
Yes. So you call in to speak to the producer? Or you want to talk to the talk show? Disappear? You got them, Kirk? Yeah? I see Kirk on the line. Okay, that wasn't for me. So you can call me back. I thought I got Jamaicans, international callers calling me. I got a little excited there, right? Let's see what's next. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. How it go? Love your show. I appreciate the love. I now have Thursday and Friday, two days to cause mischief on Guardian Radio in the morning. So Thursday is going to be an open mic where you can call and say what's on your mind, what's irking you. You can commend persons. I'd be happy to appreciate it. We can talk politics too. I can talk politics. And of course, on regular Fridays, we'll do what I do best, right? And I see now I'm getting my phone is getting flooded with pictures of the apostle who came down to have that that church sermon. And mind you, what I found titillating, and I use the word titillating purposely, was that him arriving, the good apostle, Christian man, which I don't doubt, came to the Bahamas, and the Bahamian contingent gave him flowers. And I'm not used to men getting flowers. You know, I found that odd. You know, and I said, perhaps the Bahamian contingent knew something that the rest of the Bahamas did not know. But that's not important. I digress. Right? You can always text me at 422-4796 or call me and join the conversation at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 as we speak about what is current in the news, right? And I find it entertaining that to this day, no one is sitting down with the teachers' union to come up with a plan regarding this COVID issue. When I think that what the private schools are doing, you know, perhaps that's what we need. We need to have a general conclave with public schools and private schools to see what is going to be the agenda moving forward. Because, mind you, I believe that the public schools and our ministers do a yeoman's job. But they need some ideas. They need some ideas so we can move forward regarding that. Say, next I say, CA, the $5 million for administrative fees that Mrs. Lawson got, what she bought with it, government property or she gets to keep it. CA, do you think the honorable MP absconded from jurisdiction? No questions, no charges. Texa, I ain't going there with you, no. You're very, very being very suggestive with your text. And if I knew that what she was going to say, I wouldn't have read that, but I still laughed all the same, right? And I see the headline said that the MP is on his way back. He's going to answer questions there. He's doing his personal business, whatever he's at. And so I don't need the innuendos, the suggestion that something sinister is happening. When, in any minute now, we will be able to explain exactly what is happening. I see that the Anglican church women are having a conference. I'm always excited when the Anglican church women have their conference. And they see their hashing out their constitution. So I want to say kudos to those great women of God in the Anglican Church. I'm going to give a good shout out to them because they are definitely the backbone of the Anglican Church. So I'm kind of excited about that. I see I have 4 minutes, and tomorrow I will be having the third show with Valentino Scrooge Brown. And I think that's a conclusion where we will be discussing basically what is happening now in his community. So I'm kind of excited about that. It's going to be a conclusion. It's not going to be how it was about his history of the transition from a gangster and how it was the gangs were dissolved back then. But basically, how can we as a community help him and his community and general communities that are having issues, right? And we're going to basically speak about his successes in the community and from whence they came. So I'm definitely excited about such. So I can't wait for that show. I definitely enjoy this show today. I hope that next week I get some more calls about pressing issues that is happening inside the Bahamas. Definitely we need to talk more about what is happening in the news currently. We should have more information about what is happening in Long Island. So I see social media has a lot of innuendos, and these things need to be hashed out. And so I'm hoping that by next week news, we'll understand what is happening. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM. My name is C.A. Nuri, and I was your host for today. And thank you very much for calling in and joining me. Have a wonderful day. I see you tomorrow.